You have your Bibles, please join me once again in the book of Philippians. We finally found our way to the end of chapter 1, taking this book and its message in small bites. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God as I read to you from Philippians 1, verses 27 through 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Or you might see in some translation it's termed this way: only behave as citizens worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of the gift that we have been given. Here, Paul the encourager, Paul the pastor, Paul the optimist, says regarding all that's going on in our life, everything that we have going on in our lives, one thing should stand above the rest. One thing must be foremost in the Christian life. And he says, let the way you live your life be worthy of the gospel, to be worthy of the gift. He says, let your life resemble the level of sacrifice made by our Lord, who lived and died and rose again, so that you and I would have that greatest of all gifts. And that is that gospel message in our lives, that we live worthy to that message, to the outcome of that message, and that is eternal life with our Lord. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? We hear that word often. We understand that that is the message, but exactly what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, it is a story of what God has done to save sinners. What God has done to save sinners, it is the good news of salvation, which God has given to a world hopelessly lost in sin. And please understand, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about anything that we have done to deserve this beautiful gift. It is first and foremost what God has done through Jesus Christ, which he had decreed way before the creation of time. That beautiful message of love and care and compassion, he decreed from ages past that would be that wonderful gift. And at the right time, at just the right time, of which we have just celebrated, that Jesus Christ would come as a child and die on the cross as the Father has decreed. And again, at just the right time, that beautiful message of the gospel would be applied, would be given to you. You've heard me say before, when asked, well, when did you get saved, Tim? Well, I used to say in June of whatever year it was, when I was 20 years old, but then I changed that. When did I get saved? Before the creation of time. Because God decreed that beautiful gift for Tim, for Judy, for Cindy, for Jill, for Clay, way before the beginning of time. And at just the right time, when God decreed that you would come to know that beautiful gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit came and brought that message to you. The beautiful gift of salvation, the gift of the gospel. Throughout the Old Testament, we see foreshadows of this great, great proclamation. We see at the very beginning of the Bible, in the fall of man, in Genesis chapter 3, we read of God putting enmity, hostility, hatred between the serpent and mankind, and that the offspring of the woman would crush the head of that serpent. This is the foreshadow of God, through Jesus Christ, destroying Satan, of which we know he did on that cross. you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah chapter 40. All through the Old Testament, we see the foreshadowing of this gospel message coming. We see the message of God's love for his people. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. There's a glimpse. Lift your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald the good news. Once again, lift it up. Fear not, says the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Behold the Lord God. Comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. There we begin to see glimpses of the gospel. A little shadowed. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Excuse me, 61. You know, there are those who say you can find Jesus Christ on every page of the Bible. Well, true, if you know what to look for. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Behold, the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the bringing of good news to the poor. You see, there's the foreshadowing of the gospel. To proclaim liberty for the captives, that they might be called, and I love this term, oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. What strength is found in these words? Oaks of righteousness. And there are so many more, but the story is the same time and again as you go through the Old Testament, as it points to that Messiah. It points to that gospel message coming, victory over all that challenges. We know that that's coming from this Old Testament perspective. But we who live on this side of the cross have also the New Testament perspective of this gospel message, which more clearly defines and outlines exactly what the gospel is. And we see it given to us by Jesus Christ himself. We see it given to us by the apostles, even his name, Jesus. As we mentioned Christmas Eve, even his name, Jesus, means salvation. His father was told to name him Jesus. In Matthew 1:21, we read, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And we even see that in the Old Testament. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, each of those names mean salvation. His name proclaims the good news. Mark chapter 4. We see the fulfillment of the prophecy of which I've just read in Isaiah 61. Jesus himself is saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus adds this, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That is when they began to want to stone Jesus Christ, because they saw heresy. Because there he said, "I am God." What you heard Isaiah prophesy, today in your hearing, this has been fulfilled. What was prophesied in Isaiah is now being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's why they wanted to kill him. He said, "I am God." And then we have all of the miracles in the New Testament. They are the proclamation of the effects of the gospel. Healing the blind, the gospel is proclaimed. Raising the dead, the gospel is proclaimed. healing the lame, the gospel is proclaimed. All of these are the effects of the coming of the gospel message. One might ask the question, however, why did Jesus not heal everyone? You know he passed by many in his 3 years. He passed by many, never healing. Why did he not heal everyone? Why does he not heal those who are sick in our world today? We have several in our congregation right now suffering with cancer. Why does he not heal immediately? Well, the answer to that is way beyond my wisdom. But when we look in Jesus' day, even maybe in our day, that was not his mission. His mission was not to heal each and every person in this age. His mission was to come to reveal the love of God the Father. And he did that through the sacrifice on the cross. That was his mission, to bring that gospel message of salvation, not the physical healing to everyone. Is that hard for us to accept? Is that hard for us to understand? Possibly. Jesus said, if you pray, whatever you pray for in my name, there you will get. That you will get. The apostles spoke of the good news. Philip, the evangelist, spoke to the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, sitting in a chariot on the side of a dirt road. He shared the good news of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. There's the gospel message. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd. Again, the foreshadowing of the shepherd discussion we had in Isaiah chapter 40. Here Peter is saying that good shepherd is Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of the freedom of forgiveness in Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 6. Paul writes, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. Do you know it won't be long before it'll be against the law for me to read this? Just a sidebar. My brothers who are in the ARP church, in the ARP church in Canada, right now they're being grandfathered. The law says you cannot do this, but they're not coming after the church yet. But it's on the books in Canada. You cannot say this. It won't be long before I will be breaking the law if I read that. Reading on. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God, and such as some of you were. But as Martin Lloyd Jones says, here's one of the most important words in all of Holy Text. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the gospel. The gospel is God saving a people from their sin through the work of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is spoken of time and time and time again, either in foreshadowing language or to the literal language of the New Testament. So, living a life worthy of the gospel. Living a life worthy of the gospel, when we approach this, how should we consider it? How can we take it all in so that it might indeed affect our lives and we live in that gospel message? Well, a couple of steps for us. First, we must consider its author. We must consider it its author. 1 Thessalonians cites the gospel as the gospel of God. The gospel of Christ. We must be clear. We must be clear. The gospel message is not man-made, as some today would argue. 2 Peter, once again in chapter 1, he says very clearly, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men were the writers of the gospel, but the Holy Spirit was the author. And Peter says very clearly they wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we must consider the power of the gospel. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." It is the power of God for salvation. The person who accepts the gospel message by living a true faith is saved, delivered, reconciled, redeemed by the power of God. Again, it is nothing we can do for it. It is in the power of God that we are justified before Him. It is in the power of God that we are made right before our Lord. Thirdly, we must consider its message. And the message is very simple. The message of the gospel is Jesus Christ and what He has done. Jesus Christ is the center of the gospel. Once again, from Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, "For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, and that is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." And again, please, we must be clear. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus and His works are the center of that gospel message. And then finally, getting back to what Paul has written here in Philippians, what does the gospel require of us? First, we should realize our sinfulness. The gospel message, its light, when shown upon us, should show and reveal to us our darkness. And then it reveals our hopelessness in that we cannot save ourselves. There is no way to survive our sickness. There is no way outside of the gospel message that we can overcome this which plagues us. That the sinner should repent and accept the salvation with all its heart, her heart, his heart. And then the passage I spoke from on Christmas Eve, all of us have it memorized. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Okay? Who is it that's going to believe? John says, whoever believes. Well, who is it that's going to believe? The one who accepts the gospel message. Well, who is it that's going to accept the gospel message? The one that the Holy Spirit has come and redeemed. Well, who is the one that the Holy Spirit is going to come and redeem? The one that the Father has predestined from the beginning of time. Whoever believes. And we must believe this message. Again, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is the story of what God has done for us. And Paul is encouraging the Philippian church and us to live in a manner worthy of this gospel message. So how do we do this? How do we do this? Paul says in verse 27, he says, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or am not, that I may hear that you are standing firm." Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith. He encourages that we as a church, as a people, stand united. Standing firm in one spirit. The song we love to sing, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Love for whom? Love for each other. Love for Jesus. Paul so then goes on and says that we should not be frightened. And we need to hear this message today, that we are not to be frightened. He says in verse 28, "The Christian shall not be frightened by anything by our opponents." In our land today, there is much fear among us. However, our being unafraid sends a message. If I read verse 28 to you, and he says, "Not be frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God." So us not living in fear is actually a proclamation of the salvation message. Not living in fear means that we understand the gospel and the strength that it gives us, and we are to be unafraid. There's one more step that Paul points out, and it's probably one we're not really comfortable with and would rather not hear. But also the gospel message means suffering. Verse 29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. It has been granted to you. It has been granted to you. It has been granted to the Christian that we suffer. Do you know what that phrase actually means? Granted to you? It means to be awarded. Our suffering is an award. It's an award that we will suffer. Okay, how is suffering an award? Because, as Paul points out here, we are suffering for the sake of Christ. And that's the award, that we are like Christ. Christ suffered throughout his life, his adult life primarily. Suffered mostly on the scourging and on the cross. And so when we suffer through this life, do we think, wow, I'm just like Christ? Typically not. We pray, Lord, take this from me. Lord, please not this. Lord, can you move? No. Our Lord suffered to bring us the gospel. And this is the beautiful message of life, of eternity, that we must suffer as well. Sometimes it's not a pleasant message. These last months, we have suffered in different ways. Some physically, with illness, cancer. Some spiritually, emotionally, losing loved ones. The environment, the atmosphere we live in this virus thing, it only reveals the sinfulness of this creation. And us living in this sinful environment, there will be suffering. So the Christian should not look to avoid or look to say, Lord, why me? Well, no, why not you? Remember, we have been awarded this place of suffering. And that's part of the gospel message. The salvation gospel of Jesus Christ is freedom. He says, I have brought liberty to the captives. However, it is not free. And it is not easy. It was not easy for our Lord. It's not going to be easy for us. Given all of this, then, we ask the question, do we live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel? Everyone in this room, everyone seated out in the cars outside would all answer, no, I haven't. Do I desire to? Yes. Do we desire to? Yes. Holy Spirit, come and lead us in that way. And as we are going to close and sing, to God be the glory, and we do say, God, to God be the glory for this most beautiful gift, this most beautiful message. And so I would plead and beg for the power of the Holy Spirit to let us live in full appreciation of this beautiful gift that we've been given. Amen. And amen.